A65. Number 24B.
So that we here again see that if divine science is the sense of oneness, that it is a whole universe related together so that there is harmony, underlying it must be a system, because system says this is the method of how to unite all the parts or all the elements into a frictionless whole. Therefore, at that point, we need to see that principle is expressing itself as structure through classifications. All that is necessary, or else the oneness of being would be an amorphous oneness, oneness that has no outline, that has no identity, that has no form, that has no gestalt, that would be formless, so to say. But through system and categories, it really gathers harmonious interrelationship. Therefore, also here we get government. You remember, in mind we had governs, and we had that governs in the category 4, because mind is always used in conjunction with governs, that it governs over something. Over something. So you get at once the fourth category. Whereas government as such, especially as self-government, is showing the system of how things are interrelated. And there is not in the first place interested that government is used over something, but it is establishing the system of relationship and intra-relationships. So in that case, principle governs, but it governs because it wants to show that all the details are classified properly, or find their right place within the structure, within the whole hierarchy of ideas, so that every part is touched by a relationship. So it is self-government, but because that self-government also is operative self-government, we have here really the self-organizing system, the cybernetic system, that self-organizing system which says I do everything out of myself, through itself, and as itself, and for itself, and as a feedback back to the world. And this is the sense of the one universe in which there is no beginning and end, like in a causal law. In a causal law, you have a beginning, you have an end. In a oneness, we have no beginning, no end. We can't say here it starts and there it ends, but shows that within that oneness of being, the ever-operative sense is a cybernetic law of self-organization and self-regulation. So it is ever-operative. Yeah. So can we see the difference between column 1 and 2? Column 1, again, just seems to be a stating the inner core of a principle, whereas the column 2 shows the operative sense of that principle within its own realm. It is a sevenfold principle, the principle of all, where all ideas have the same principle. And what is it that this principle and ideas coexist in this, or its interrelationship? And therefore, it is indivisible, yet in that indivisibility, there is harmony, a flow of harmony. The relationship are brought out as a harmonious relationship within that oneness, operating as harmony. How? Through a self-operative government, through a self-operative organizing system, through a cybernetic law. So you get a terrific moving and organizing and operative principle. But the moment we come to the point of category 3 of absolute Christian science, we ask quite different questions. he asks the question, but how does that principle apply itself to individual situation, to individual positive problems? And so we see here what Mrs. Eddy calls the creative principle. See that principle which says, let there be life, truth and love. That's a creative principle. That creative principle is in itself naturally mind, spirit, soul, and not so much life, truth and love. That creative principle is constantly bringing forth through the impulsion of spirit all the ideas. These ideas are always immanual. They always relate back to principle. They are God with me, God with you, God with us. Can you see, it's the individual relationship between God and man. It's no more all the relationships as we had in category 2, where there is just a great interrelationship of everything, so that we have that immanual sense, principle and idea being united, the individual idea being united. Therefore, it is inseparable. Now, here I want to show, again, we had in divine science, we had indivisibility. You couldn't really take the whole and divide it. It's indivisible. But in absolute Christian science, it's inseparable. You remember when we did our exercises at the beginning of the week on how a term was seen when it was translated through the different levels. And there we had also the infinite one on the level of science itself. Then we saw it in divine science as indivisible, because the oneness of being cannot be divided. And then we had in absolute Christian science unity, because it's showing that each idea is united with its principle, and therefore it is not separable. If it's united, you cannot separate it. It's a different concept than dividing up. Indivisible means you have a whole and you can't divide it up into parts. But inseparable means that it cannot be put away from. So that an idea cannot be put away from principle and be separated from principle. Therefore, she said, there are not such a thing as isolated ideas. See, that's typical for absolute Christian science. The principle is an inseparable unity. Can you listen to the different tonality of apparently synonymous terms? Also, when we have principle, we can see that principle relationship to idea is that the principle interprets the nature and activity and meaning of each idea. In divine science, we do not need to have an interpretation, because in divine science we saw that there is a oneness where all is known. It was the all-knowing. If there is an all-knowing, nothing needs to be interpreted. We only need to be interpreted when we do not know, when therefore specific ideas have to be shown in their right relationships. So here we have interprets itself as spiritual computations. Now you get the calculus of ideas, principle that calculates with ideas, principle that unites all. We have the unity of principle and idea begins to unite all. It's not the inseparability, it is uniting all. And therefore, through principle's interpretation, we should be able to see that everything is one, can be made one. And also, again, we have the term governs. Here it is not the self-government as in classification 2, but now we have how every idea, our principle, governs each idea. Whereas in mind we had governs in column 4, because mind governs over something, governs the body, governs our home, governs our relationship, governs the body, and so on, and so on, and so on. So I have taken especially this term government all over, because it's a very good example with which one can illustrate that it is absolutely inadequate just to take a term and then see its meaning. Its meaning is, what is the meaning?
Relational.
Golly, we have it, huh? Meaning is relational. So every time we must put such a term right into a relation and say, what kind of relation do I consider? So in absolute Christian Science, it is not self-government. It is governing the idea. So it governs all idea. It governs its true creation. And principle is in command of that government. Yes. So again, we have established principle in a divine and absolute sense. We have seen, so to say, that the first column gives us a statement sense of what principle is in its true core, as really the principle of all science, the principle of the wholeness, of the individual whole. Then in category 2, we could see that it has a lot to do, that within the whole realm of principle, everything is intra-related, and through intra-relation we have harmony, we have system, we have government, ever-operative sense, get a terrific sense of the movement in here. At the point of absolute Christian Science, we have the tone that principle is related to each idea, as that idea which interprets every idea, which is united with every idea, which is inseparable with every idea, and therefore governs every idea. But then, when we translate it to the human, we get quite different ideas again. How does it touch the human? Category 4. And we find here those qualities which we always like to have in our list for principle, namely that principle is apodictical, see, that it is an authority, that it is imperative. Well, we only need really authority and something that is apodictical and imperative if we have to have authority over something. Or else we do not need to have an imperative principle. It must be if a principle is imperative and apodictical and is an authority, always is implied that there is a field that does not want to be dictated to and may put up resistance to. So here comes principle and says, I do not allow any resistance. I am really authoritative. Therefore, the human experiences principle as to be irrefutable. The human can sidestep it, but we always see that that principle catches up on him and that we cannot run away from principle. That sooner or later we have to submit ourselves to principle. So we experience first principle as something very strong, irrefutable, that as apodictical, as an authority. We also see that principle comes to us as something that is never regretting, because it's authority, and never says, well, I'm sorry, I regret my actions. It says, no, it is just a terrific impact, an imperative, a categorical imperative. Like Kant's categorical imperative, principle is that way. It says, so it will be done and not otherwise. Therefore, we feel as if this principle is a terrific authoritative power, which Mrs. Eddy also calls spiritual power in the third degree, the fourth characteristic there in the third degree is spiritual power. So we experience principle as spiritual power. Again, we can see how do we get spiritual power, and the answer would be you don't get it. It is given to you. It is given to you when you fill your consciousness with column 1, 2, and 3. Then it translates itself to you as that demanding principle, as that authoritative principle, which says, I'm at the helm of everything. I dictate what is going to be done. I'm the power at work, which is called spiritual power. Also, I have taken in interprets again, just as in column 3. Column 3 was that it interprets itself as spiritual computation. See? It interprets itself through the calculus of ideas. But also, principle also interprets itself to us, to human consciousness. By revealing itself, how does it really do it? We have as the next one, it teaches us, it explains itself to us. All that is now in the category 4. We couldn't put teaches and explains in category 3. Because principle does not teach its ideas. It's not to teach to ideas. It does not explain itself to ideas. It only teaches to the human consciousness. Therefore, can you see, sometimes we have terms like interprets that we can nearly put in one context or in another context. Therefore, here, interprets itself as what? In absolute Christian Science, as a calculus. It interprets itself in category 4 to us. So we can use both the term in both categories, if in the right context, but you couldn't do that with the term teaching. That term teaching cannot put into another context. We cannot put teaching into a context of absolute Christian Science, because it's just not possible that the principle teaches its ideas. It always teaches us. We have to be taught. And explains it to us. It never explains itself to its ideas. Do you see these points? I mean, language is wonderful, but we have to somehow to understand language, and to think about language, and to think about the meaning of a term, to think about how a term can be applied, and in which relationship, in which context it is possible, in which context it is not possible. All this has to be cultured within ourselves. And all this, you know, this human language, this syntax of human language, if considered from the science of being, therefore spiritually, it slowly yields its importance to the language of spirit. Because suddenly, though what I have shown here as a difference here between interprets in one column and the other, and that teaching can only be in one column and not in the other, all this is culturing not our English language. The English language is only a symbol, but what it cultures is to hear categories, to get acquainted with categories. Now, the language of spirit is to hear the language of categories. The language of tones and the combination of tones in categories and the interrelationship of categories within themselves. It's a spiritual language. So ordinary syntax becomes really spiritual syntax. And that spiritual syntax is a wonderful language, and that can be heard no matter if you are German or English or French or Italian or Chinese or Hebrew or what. It is a deep structural language that has existed since time immemorial, and only the surface language tries to imitate this deep structural language of spirit. Yes. So we have in category four, really, all those powerful impacts from principle on us, on our consciousness, are saying, I am your authority, not you are as authority. I say what is going to be done. I'm irrefutable. You can't sidestep me. I'm spiritual power. I interpret myself to you, and I teach you, and I explain myself to you, and I work for you only the good. Then we come to the next category where we say, now what does that principle do to a false principle, to a theory, to a false application of theories and dogmas and so on? So if it goes through our list of ideas that we have about principle, and you say which ideas that we have in our list really apply to this category 5, I think you would find that you would say, here, we hear first that principle never pardons. That's the relationship to its suppositional opposite, that it never says to the opposite, I pardon you. Only a person can say to somebody or to something that is wrong, all right, let's forget it. Let's forget it. Principle can't. So the impact of principle on an opposite situation is that it never pardons, but that it wants to demonstrate itself against or in spite an opposition. So principle demonstrates itself, and by demonstrating itself, it proves itself by giving the disproof to false theories, and therefore solves problems. So you have here wonderful, those few very distinct ideas of a principle that demonstrates itself, that proves itself, that solves the problem. But if the problem is solved, if it gives way, then something more of a nature of principle is being established in the human, and we come to category 6. What kind of principle attitude is brought out? Well, we have obedience. That's typical principle. Huh? Our attitude becomes principle by being obedient to principle, by being disciplined along the line of principle, where we don't say, I just do what I like. Well, now I have an attitude that says, I'm only doing that what principle wants me to do. So I show forth that sense of discipline. We have here the fourth prayer, namely the prayer of honesty, where everything corresponds within ourselves. We have the inner harmony in the human, namely that there in the fourth prayer, Mrs. Eddy says that our motives, that our attitudes, that our works, all must be one, all must harmonize. So it is a sense of honesty, the prayer of honesty which we have there, that we investigate what is actually in us, so that everything is brought in line with principle, which is also bringing out a sense of loyalty, because we are loyal to principle and not to people, not to organization, but only to principle. That's the only loyalty we have. It just gives you the creep when you always read in the letters, you know, I'm a loyal student of the Mother Church, I'm a loyal student of this and that teacher, I'm a loyal student. We are only loyal if we are loyal to principle. So most of these people are absolutely disloyal because they are loyal to people or organization, and you can't be loyal to principle because people and organization are the very opposites of a principle. You have a sense within you of being principled, that is impersonal. So you have an impersonality. We have a scientific attitude that is built up within us, so that we approach everything not from a personal point of view, with personal views and motives and aims and so on, but with a scientific attitude, with an attitude of being in cooperation with principle. All this is being brought up. Finally, the last is always the easiest one. It has just shown what do we have if we misunderstand principle. If we misunderstand principle, we still have principle, but shown forth through misunderstanding as what seems to be the very opposite. Instead of being principled, we have personal sense, personality. Instead of having science, we have the opposite of science: theories, dogmas, hypotheses, speculation, superstition. All that is not built on a science. We have material knowledge, material science. Instead of having the unity of principle, the wholeness of principle, we have fragmentation. So fragmentation is the divine principle misunderstood, because the divine principle says, let's have infinite intra-relationship. It's arbitrary, because principle has system, and therefore is not arbitrary. Principle has a self-organizing law, the cybernetic law. Therefore, the very opposite is to have a material organization. In a material organization, we have wrong relationships, relationship between people and people and people and things. And therefore, the whole false concept of God is a personal concept of God, a man-made concept of God, namely anthropomorphic God. Bang on. Here we have it.